In the grand theater of life, we all seek a comeback, a resurgence, a rekindling of our inner fire. But how do we spark that flame? Welcome to Reignite Resilience. This is not just another podcast. This is a journey, a venture into the heart of human spirit, the power of resilience, and the art of reigniting our passions.
Welcome back to part two of our two-part interview with Rachel Jane Groover. We are so excited to have you back. As we dive into our second part of the interview, we're going to continue to hear more about Rachel Jane's personal journey, as well as learn a couple of tips and practices that we can begin to incorporate in our own personal lives in the event that we are facing adversity and looking for a way to truly ignite the fire within. We hope you enjoy. Talking about the pandemic, I mean, you had a thriving speaking business. I mean, you were international, not just the national, you know, within the US, you were traveling around the world. The pandemic hits. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of resiliency there because you could have stuck your head in the sand and just waited until it was over. I watched virtually online to see you really pivoted. So talk to us about the resiliency with your business there. Again, an opportunity to.
And there always is another opportunity to grow. But we were at that point, 90% of our work was live events. I had stopped doing coaching. It was group experiences. So it was the biggest pivot. So we were in India, actually, at the time when the shutdowns happened. I think we got back and then 2 days later, everything was, was closed. You know, it was interesting because there was things happening at multi-different layers within me. I had just, a couple of years prior, I had a very big, what I would call my spiritual awakening year that was very intense and profound. And then the following year, I'm now in India, and I had another. It was like an energetic update of extreme proportion that happened right there. So I've just come back from that and I am feeling very different. And this is all happening.
What's happening?
And at the same time, I'll call my spiritual team, was saying there's nothing to worry about around this pandemic. It's not really a whole lot to worry about. What do you mean? Everyone's worried. You know, it's like,
it's chaos and it's frantic. And
and I couldn't understand it. And so, so then we're in this decision point of, do we go back to events when we could, like get everyone social distance? So I had to make all those decisions. And we've got a split group of people. Some are like, let's get back. And some are like, you are the devil if you go back. And now I'm managing their polar things. And I'm getting my own information about it, which made sense to me. But I didn't feel like I could say it to anyone because they're all in that either kind of camp in a way. And then in my quiet time, I'm like, I want to keep my whole team. I mean, we had a team of 11 or 12 full-timers. They were all perfectly in their position. I don't want to let go of anyone. So I've got to pivot in product or offering. So we thankfully had a business coach at the time and was very connected to a lot of other people who were doing events. And so we got plugged into how to do a Zoom sales event within a month.
Oh, wow.
So that wasn't just assume, like, let's get together. It was, you know, coaching zone and sponsors and this and that. And so we went to a studio. We did that, which allowed us to continue those bigger events that we did that would bring people into our other live events. They didn't do as well, but it kept us going.
So you still had like 100 or more people join in or close to?
We had every home edition event. We call them home edition events. During the pandemic, had over 200 people, 200 to 400. Like there was more people there, but like you said, Pam, less people really showing up because they can hide on the screen. And there was always people that weren't, you could feel them, but there was those that didn't. And so I got kind of known for the second day of these events. I say, like, get off now. If you're just one of those ones that is not showing your camera or whatever and like seeing how Rachel Jane does it. Like, no,
this is not the place for you.
This is contained and powerful. So Yeah. So it was great. I loved it because it was a lot less energy for me to do that. Because the last few events prior to the pandemic were like 250 people in a ballroom. Yes. And I'm a hugger. So I'm like hugging everybody. Yes. And the whole thing at the end is like, oh my God. Yeah. You know?
And you turn around and do it the next day.
Exactly. And here I'm going into the studio and I've got the cameramen and that's all. And everyone's outside doing their thing. It's like I'm sitting on a break on my own. It was wonderful.
Yes. Dream.
Exactly. Yes. Until it wasn't.
Until it wasn't.
And then so we started doing our main events again and it was like, oh, this is
so much better.
Yeah. So much better. So yeah, we pivoted to online and we also pivoted to longer retreats over a couple of weeks. So what we did, because people were at home and stuck, and we've kept this going because it's one of the favorite things that they do. Partly coming out of my spiritual awakening experience, realizing how important silence is over multiple days. Mm-hmm. We did our Unshakable Certainty retreat, which was over 14 days.
Yes.
And so people could stay at home. So there was no need to move anywhere. And we would set them up like a practice each day. And then the weekend would be in silence and a little bit of guidance, a little bit of orientation versus like you're sitting there with your head bobbing or trying to stay awake, like meditating for another So it's guidance of what the focus and awareness needs to be pointed towards. And then they will go back into their world for the next few days. And then we do it again on the second weekend because often when people go into a silent meditation retreat or something like that, they're out.
Yes.
And then there's no kind of comeback for a very big integration.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did a 10-day version where they do 5 days on their own or with my practice. And then we did 5 days of silence.
Wow.
And the longer time, I usually love 7 days in a row. The longer it is, the deeper people can go. So that was a very great coming out of the pandemic gift for us that we could do those and no one could go anywhere. And it's like, yes, let's do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
5 days, 24 hours of silence or moments?
All complete.
Complete. Wow.
Yeah. I come off a 7 day. I've done some silent retreats, but the 7 day experience that I did was kind of a bookend. And for those of you that, so it's not like, you know, this is not all about spirituality, but for those interested in the spirituality piece I'm talking about, my latest book, Unshakable Inner Peace, is the first part of this year that happened. And the second book is the bookend of what happened.
Interesting.
Which is great because often people who've gone through this experience or my spiritual mentors, you might hear their awakening story, you know, in a chapter and that's kind of it. This series, it's a trilogy, is like micro movements of what was happening as this was going on.
Yes.
And so the end of that year was the 7 days and that really solidified the knowing of infinite presence through my earth suit, where in the beginning it was like, okay, something is changing here.
Yeah.
But the in and the out, I still knew my ego was popping out because it would always say, my husband doesn't realize the most important thing happening to me. I mean, it was happening and people would see it because they knew me, but there was this friction between us. Oh, how do you know?
And And how do you not know?
And I could feel that, like, and then these. So I was working that year with these things that would push out. And I think that that's what happens to people who've gone through, you know, a peaceful experience or a spiritual awakening experience.
Yes.
It always snaps back on itself when it comes back. And so my thing was like, and that had happened before to me.
Yeah.
So what is the process of it not snapping back into separate self, labeling everything, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that's what that year was about. Yeah. And it was the 7 day silence of being able to unwind those pieces when you've got silence and you've got, that's no reading.
Yes.
It's no note taking. It's no anything. You've got nothing to go to.
Not meditating.
You are meditating.
Meditating.
You're meditating. You're walking. You're sitting. You're staring at the mountains, but you're not doing a thing.
Not doing
no chores,
yes.
No gardening, No walk on the, well, if you're at home, our people had to walk the dog. Shoot, yeah, or whatever. Taking everything away, which I was pretty good with, again, an introvert, but taking away no reading or no learning or no note taking or any of those things. And you just have to be with the simple voices. Inquiries and what was happening.
Wow.
And so that was why I thought that's the missing piece of our work.
Yes.
Is that little few parts of the spiritual awakening journey that I didn't really understand.
Mm-hmm.
And now I understand. So kind of put those in and now see a lot more moving and stabilizing into that unshakable inner peace place.
Yeah. Beautiful. Listening to you talk about 7 days of silence, like, just gives me anxiety.
Yeah.
Why? Like, just the thought of not reading or not doing something. I think I've just become this person that I feel like I'm always need to be doing something.
Yeah.
And if I'm not doing something, I feel guilty, or I'm like, I'm missing out on something, or
I'm wasting time. Like, exactly. I complete in 7 days.
And I almost feel like that's what we've created as a society.
Absolutely.
And it's hard to come off of this.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, let me give you another way of feeling into the experience.
Okay.
And then I want to go back to that because it is anxiety producing. It's like, I can't sit with just that, but I am also a very big doer, as Natalie knows. Like, I am an ambitious doing woman that always wants to have something to do.
Yes.
And once that's manifested, what's next?
Exactly.
Yes.
But through this process, it's now like a turning on of a switch and turning it off. So am I wanting to be in my enjoyable doing mode today? Yes, I do. And would I like to be in unshakable inner peace, not needing anything? Yes, I do.
And you just do it.
Done.
And how long did that take you to get to a space where, as a doer, because we're both the same, we're doers. If something comes off my plate, something new is going to be coming on it.
Well, as I would switch the, I want to be unshakable inner peace, I could then choose, okay, do I want to do that or not? Versus a knee-jerk.
Mm-hmm.
A knee-jerk. Oh, I'd like to sit on the banana lounge for half a day, but then if I don't, I'm going to miss out or whatever. It wasn't a choice.
Yeah.
So how long did that take? I mean, I have been pretty committed to a meditation path and spiritual inquiry path, not from any particular religion. I grew up Christian and I've studied a lot of the religions of the world that never really related to me. It was always this peace. Like, what creates that?
Yes.
Because going to church apparently doesn't create that.
No.
Because I did that and people do that and it's still, you know, all those things. That started with The Seat of the Soul by Gary Zukav. That was my first book. And so this is back in the late 90s. So it's been a long time. But this year of the bookends that I'm talking about, which was 2018.
Okay.
The following year, a couple of things that sped it up big time is on New Year's Day 2018, I was sitting writing in my journal what my intentions are, my things, and we're almost at that point here in 2024, January 1, and I heard, I want to reach enlightenment this lifetime. And I'm like writing down, you know, weight bearing exercise. And it was like
very clear.
My voice, but it wasn't my voice.
Yes.
And I was like, what? And so in some ways it made sense because I've always been inclined to that. But that is a boastful comment you're not going to bring up at Thanksgiving. You know, that's my intention. Yeah. Like, right?
Yes.
But I just was kind of with it and I didn't say it to anyone for a while. And I did say it to my husband. It took me about 6 to 8 weeks to get the courage to tell him that this feels really important to me. And I had the realization that I had a belief that that wasn't possible. That happens to the yogis, that happens to the monks, that happens to the, you know, whatevers, but doesn't happen to the Australian country singer girl.
Yes.
You know, no, but
that's still plugged in and actively engaged in society, right?
Exactly.
You have to extract.
Exactly. And that's, you've got to extract and do all these things. So I say that because the intention for it was very strong and very sincere, way more than the years past. So I kind of worked through my belief systems of why don't I think, and if enlightenment's not the word, inner peace, right? And that you can switch the switch on, and there is inside and through your body and through your sensations, it's quiet.
Yeah.
So the intention went up, and then I went into the writing retreat where I was writing my next book, and a voice came through with such precision. We all had like the intuitive hits,
of course,
but this was something else. And it said, this book is going to be on your most important question that you have right now in your life. And I thought about it, and it was clear, like, is it possible for me to reach enlightenment this lifetime? And basically the voice coached me on all my misunderstandings about how that process happens. And it was coaching me, and I'm right, and it's, and then I'll ask a question, and then it will. And as it was happening, it would guide me through practices. And it was very much about receptivity. It was very much about, are you receiving the moment? Are you in a receptive body? Are you? And so I was in a receptive place for 5 days straight. In Hawaii, which doesn't hurt.
It's exactly.
You're like, oh, I'm receiving. And that popped me into a big spiritual awakening experience a few days after that continued and it didn't end. So I'd say intention, highly receptive for long periods of time. And then it's going to put you into a different space where it was kind of strange. It was like everything's quiet. And nothing. But then just little bits of tentacles. And one of the tentacles was, will I ever want to do anything ever again? You know, what's going to happen to my business if I don't have any desires anymore? And so I could feel just slight tentacles, but most of it was bliss and joy and love and tears of like, what the hell's happening to me? And it wasn't stopping. And even though we left for Hawaii and went to Australia, it didn't stop. But these tentacles. So that was when the silence, coming back to your question of this, why important the silence is to not have anything and realize that I'm not Rachel Jane. There was still a part, even though I'm highly receptive and the mind's quiet, that I am still identifying as Rachel Jane, who's having this experience. Versus being done with and realizing I'm not Rachel Jane. I am infinite, pervasive awareness and presence and love that is experienced something through an earth suit called Rachel Jane. And I knew that intellectually. If anyone's been on a spiritual path, we know that intellectually. But I had the experience of it. And I was able to go through the terror of having the experience of that, because you have to let go of everything. And I had the terror experience while I was on retreat. So that helped. And to just not go back to my drink or my scrolling or my this, I just had to,
sit
in it.
Yeah.
And came out of that and noticed the data tentacles. What's going to happen? Just there's nothing to hold on. There's no resistance that it could hold on to. So to say that this experience has been my greatest manifestation of my life is an understatement. Like, this is way more than Casa Sagrada and a great business. Because people can do that, but very few people can really sit in a quiet mind and unshakable inner peace, and
very few go through
that and be in the world experience. Not, oh, I got to go to India now and be there for 10 years.
And
I'll let you know if it works.
Just lovely.
I think that's the biggest piece, is like realizing that you can still have this experience in this body.
Absolutely.
And go through the experience.
Absolutely.
That you have.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Not many people are able to achieve that. And I
think they won't intend it, or and they won't receive it.
Yes.
And then they won't go through the terror of letting them who they think go.
Yes.
And those two things. But if anyone's listening, you're like, I think I do. That's where it starts. I think I do.
Yeah.
I think I do. What is more important? Your million-dollar business or unshakable inner peace?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you say unshakable inner peace, that is so much easier for me to embrace than silent time with myself.
Mm-hmm.
And we've shared on prior episodes, I ran a half marathon and I said, I don't ever want to spend that much time with myself. And I love myself. I don't want to spend that much time just chatter in my brain.
Yes.
But I was doing a thing,
exactly.
Right? It's not just that inner peace that I could,
And we don't want to be with ourselves, because when we say myself, we're saying my mind and my emotion of the earth suit.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really want to be with our mind and our emotions of the earth suit. And so I had a great Adyashanti, who's an amazing mentor, took me through the 7-day silence. I didn't know him very well, but it was, again, divine inspired. That was the person that was going to take you through that 7-day experience. And he's so good at pointing to who you are away from the mind and the emotion, and how to stabilize focus on who you actually are versus, you know, I mean, plenty of times sat with myself, my emotion, my God, this is not
this
fun.
This is not fun.
But once I'm like, oh, that's it. That's blissful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally different.
I love
it. Wow.
Oh my gosh. There's so many other areas that I feel that we can go. I will say the full circle or aha that I had was receiving. And it's interesting that you say receiving, because there was a month this year that I had to spend time with that term, because I had so much resistance when I thought about what I was able to receive.
Mm-hmm.
But the full circle for you, as at the beginning of that journey, when you're back in with the back injury and being in that place of receiving,
I had to.
And now here you are again, in just allowing yourself to be in that receptive state again.
Yes.
It's a powerful word when you really think about, you know, and for me, it came down to worth, right? When you think about receiving, it's, well, am I worthy of that? Why me? Why would I be the person that receives that?
Mm-hmm. Right. And that feels so because we're in our ego self. Who am I? Who am I? The other side of it's like, I'm so great. I'm so great. Like, it's either way.
Yes.
But you're just receiving.
Just receiving. Yeah. I love it. I love
Beautiful.
It.
Beautiful.
Well, can you share with the listeners what you have going on now? What are you currently working on?
I'm working on finishing book 2, which is Unshakable Love. So for those in the context, Unshakable Inner Peace will be out in February of 2024.
Beautiful.
We have our inner tribe of the Awakened School. Anyone can go to theawakenedschool.com and find out all about our retreats.
Yes.
We did a pre-launch for them to go through the book club. The feedback's been amazing.
Great.
Really, really happy with that. So that'll be out. And then later next year, Unshakable Love, which is the year after this retreat happened and what was going on there. And the third book will come out the year after, Unshakable Manifestation, which is really about the descent back into the book, back into life. And like, this doesn't mean that it's not, it just means it's going to be easier, lot easier.
Yeah.
So that's big. I love writing. And Casa Sagrada opening, you know, in 2024, we'll have all of our events here. And
amazing.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that. Well, thank you so much for staying in flow and creating the books, because whenever we say, I wish there was just a book that would guide us through, that would tell us, what is it supposed to look like?
Exactly.
It's out there now.
Yes.
It is coming.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing your own personal story. I think that's huge, and especially writing that, getting in the flow state and being able to share that with the masses. Mm-hmm. This has been phenomenal. Thank you. I am so grateful.
So great to be with both of you. And thank you for being here in person, not over Zoom.
Yes.
This is
exactly.
Way more fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we will share more information about Casa Sagrada and the Awaken School, awakenschool.com.
Yeah.
If you want information there, we will share those in the notes.
Yeah.
And if you want to get in touch with Rachel Jane, she's searchable. She's on all of these social platforms, but absolutely, just know if she's on a silence retreat, you can't get all of her.
And I think that one of our book reviews for next year will be one of your books.
Oh, that would be yes. Once it's released in February, we will get into
it. I'll give you a copy now and you can prepare. Yeah.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
I love it.
Well, thank you guys for joining us again for another episode. Thank you again, Rachel Jane. It is an absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much.
My
this
pleasure.
Was amazing. I've got a half a page in notes and yeah, I can't wait to learn
great.
More.
Great.
Yeah. Fabulous. Thank you. We'll see you all soon. Have a great day.
Bye, guys.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode of Reignite Resilience. We hope that you had amazing ahas and takeaways. Remember to subscribe on your favorite streaming platform, like it and download the upcoming episodes. And if you know anyone in your life that is looking to continue to ignite their resilience, share it with them. We look forward to seeing you on our future episodes. And until then, continue to reignite that fire within your hearts.